according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came home to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. It's good to be back. Having just returned from a family vacation in Mesa, Arizona, it would be hard for me or any preacher really to resist the urge to preach on our gospel text this morning. This story of Jesus at the start of his public ministry, returning to his hometown, to his home congregation after being away for a time. This story where Jesus stands up and teaches and preaches about the Holy Scripture in his home church. Given this particular moment in our country's history, when more attention has been paid in recent days to a pastor's sermon about how God calls us to live with and be of service to one another, a sermon delivered on her home turf that has got more attention than any sermon I ever remember by the national media, it would make sense then for me to lean into the themes of Jesus' preaching at the synagogue in Nazareth this morning, preaching about God's action of humility, empathy, and care for the lessers of our society. It would be easy coming home from vacation. It would be easy given the cultural moment. It would make sense for me to preach these words. But I'm not going to preach on the gospel text this morning. On the one hand, I wouldn't dare to compare myself to Jesus, nor would I want that comparison given how the story continues after our reading this morning. If you don't know what happens next, I know Pastor Rory knows what happens after the reading, but you know, the people chase Jesus out trying to run him off a cliff. So, you know, let's not do that this morning. On the other hand, while I consider myself fairly good at what I do, I don't think I could even come close to the masterfully pastoral and brave preaching of Bishop Marianne Buddy this week at the National Prayer Service in Washington, D.C. No, I'm not going to preach about the gospel text this morning. First, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab some water. I know, I really should bring it with me. Instead, I want to tell you about a restaurant we ate at in Mesa, Arizona. Family vacations are an incredible thing. They're awesome, they're exciting. They're a necessary break from the usual day-to-day of our existence. They're refreshing. They're memory-making. And I don't need to tell most of you, they are also exhausting, expensive, and stressful. While we absolutely enjoyed our uninterrupted time together in Arizona, the many swims in the pool and hot tub, lots of laughs and new adventures, we enjoyed picking citrus fresh off the tree in the backyard, and we absolutely loved spending time with my 97-year-old Grandma Mimi. But also, none of us slept well. All of us were a bit undone by the lack of routine. And as the end of our vacation drew near, the return of the reality of work and school and chores and stressors looming all too near, our nerves were a bit frayed, to say the least. After joining some friends from CTK for lunch and meeting an old colleague in a beautiful park near downtown Mesa, we wondered that age-old question asked by parents of young children day in and day out. What are we going to do for supper? Emily's friend and colleague, playwright Philip, said, as several had already mentioned to us since we arrived in Mesa, have you guys been to the Oregon Stop Pizza yet? You've been. A few of you have been there. Now, we saw many sights while we're in Arizona. We saw mountains. Saw all kinds of cactus in a landscape completely different from the one we are used to up here in Minnesota. We went to the Musical Instrument Museum, which was amazing, and I highly recommend it. We ate Southwestern cuisine. We ventured out into a place that was a total change from what we were used to. We had days and days of uninterrupted sunshine. I'm not just up here to brag to you, but I want you to know that of all of those amazing experiences we shared as a family down in Arizona, nothing, not even the Mesa Market, stands out quite like our experience at the famed Oregon Stop Pizza. For over 50 years, Oregon Stop Pizza has fed and entertained around 300,000 people annually with, according to its website, the world's largest theater organ. Now, I know what you're thinking. A pizza place? With an organ? Our pastor really needs to get out more. But this place, I'm telling you, was amazing. This enormous dining hall filled with tables and tables and tables of chairs. You walk into the place, it's like walking into a roller rink, kind of, right? You walk in, and right away, right as you walk in, the bathrooms are to the right, the arcade is to the left, and there's the counter where they take your order for your pizza. Then, they send you on your way around the other side of the counter to place your order and pay for your drinks separately. I don't know why. I imagine it has something to do with easing the flow of people. And then you turn into this dining hall with these long tables, like something out of a, I don't know, medieval tale or something. These rows and rows of tables with chairs stacked up and this enormous stage as tall as I am, even taller. And out of that stage comes this organ turning and playing and lights flashing. This organ attached like a Nickelodeon, right, to various instruments all throughout the room, to flashing lights, even to a machine, much to Luana's delight, that shot bubbles out into the room, right? This crazy, crazy organ. My wife said to me, The famed filmmaker, one of my favorites, David Lynch, who was famous for making very strange, disturbing movies and TV shows, right? Emily said to me, well, this seems like a suitable way to pay tribute to David Lynch this week, right? This crazy organ with these crazy instruments and these long tables. You file in, you sit down, and you look up into the sky at this bingo panel of lit numbers, waiting for your number to light up to tell you to go pick up your pizza. You go, you pick up your pizza, you sit, and all of a sudden this organ comes swirling out of that stage and starts to play song after song after song. You come in, you fill out a little card to make your request for a song. The song, the musician plays Happy Birthday for the various people there celebrating their birthdays that night. It is one heck of an experience. And as the music finishes, as you are done with your pizza, the crews sweep in, clear the table, sweep the floors. You get up happy and unbelievably excited by this crazy experience you just had, and you walk out and the next crew shuffles right in. I have never seen anything like it before. All of these instruments working in tandem, spreading oom-pah-pahs and bubbles and flashing lights and clashing cymbals and great flourishes on the accordion and the honky-tonk piano up in the balcony that's attached to the organ. Even the creepy dancing marionette cats with top hats on, right? Provided weary old me and my beautiful wife and our sweet whiny kids with great giggles of glee and excitement. And all of these staff people combined in their various efforts as pizza craftspeople, as sweepers and table clearers, as beverage pourers and pasta makers, not to mention that incredible organist, provided a necessary respite for our beleaguered and road-weary family. A memorable experience of joy and sustenance. And not just for us, but for the international group of visiting musicians two tables over from us, to the retired couple out on a night out, to the three or four or five birthday partiers, each celebrating a different year, a different decade even, of their lives here on earth. Now, was the pizza great? No. It was okay. Right? Was the entertainment jaw-dropping? It was a little hokey, you know? But it was okay. But the whole, was the service like above and beyond? It was high school kids, you know? It was okay. It was good enough. But the whole of these pieces, the full body with all of its individual parts provided, moving, provided an experience that was truly second to none. This well-oiled machine combined to provide all of these various people. The room seats 700 people at a time. Provided all of these people from various walks of life an experience that filled them in more ways than one, that satisfied them, that made the world shine a little brighter, if only just for the ride home. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this sounds a lot like what Paul described in our reading from 1 Corinthians this morning. The various individual parts with their own individual jobs working together to move the body of Christ. Doesn't this crazy pizza place sound a bit like church to you this morning? Today, after we have enjoyed the playing of our band, Today, after we have shared our offering with the ushers, today, after we have gathered together and eaten our fill at the Lord's table, we will come together in the social hall to reflect on the year that we have shared together and to plan for the year that we are about to embark upon. Some of us may be weary, our nerves a little fried. We may be yearning for a routine, for the expected and only the expected. We may be anxious about the ways that this coming year may disrupt us and our lives. But today, as we enter that room and that conversation, let us remember this room. And let us enter that room and conversation filled with the good news of God's work in our lives, filled with the good news of Christ's body in our own, filled with the good news of the Holy Spirit's song in our hearts. Let us enter that room and that conversation equipped to see the future for all the glorious opportunities it presents for us to share God's love with one another and with the entire world. Let us enter that room and that conversation ready to celebrate each and every part of Christ's body, us, both as the individuals we are and as the collective community we call Christ the King Lutheran Church. Let us shed our weariness, breathe in the life and love and light of God, and enter into this future God has laid before us, prepared with oompa-pas to boot. Amen.